This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
Good morning, everybody. This is Michael McCammon. I'm the herbal doctor, but not a GP. I'm a herbal medicine man. So this is what we call this talk today. It's on every week, and this is the Medicine Man Show. So we're going to talk about mental health this time. We're going to have a little bit of a song. So if you're interested at all about mental health, and one could suggest that it's a highly topical thing at the moment, come and listen to this, because I hopefully have some fresh ideas about mental health in this country in our shocking record. Okay, so get some friends, sit around the fire, or whatever, and have a listen. I'll come back to you soon. So, this is Mike McCammon, the Medicine Man on Plains FM, and we're talking about mental health. And I'm coming at it from a perspective as my role and my skill as a naturopath and a medical herbalist. So, obviously, I will have a unique slant on mental health too, because I see people in all sorts of states of distress coming to me. So mental distress, what a name, mental distress. How do we define that? Mental distress is, it's pain, but it's not always the kind of thing that looks obvious. But apparently about 4 out of 5 adults aged 15 years or more have actually experienced some form of mental distress personally or among people they know. Now, that's a little bit of a hell of a thing to say, isn't it? Because we all have mental distress, but it really depends on the degree of it and how well you can get over it in a hurry, hopefully. And there's many ways of actually experiencing mental distress or mental breakdown. But one of the main things that we find is the feeling of isolation, where they don't feel they can talk to anybody, or better than that, or more importantly, they can talk, but nobody actually listens to them. Nobody actually takes them seriously. And we have a nation here, and there's far too many fatherless kids in this country. And boys without a father have no sense of direction. And that is a sad thing. So the highest levels of stress and mental problems appear to be suffered by our kids, the 15 to 24-year-olds. They have high levels of isolation and mental distress. So what I have noticed in my work is that you always know when someone's going to make a change. The first of all is they will get into blaming the situation, blaming other people, it's everybody else's fault. And true or not, you have to let them do that, to actually experience that before they move into a place where they move away from victimhood. But the most important thing that I look for is, first of all, if they actually come to my office and they're looking for some help in terms of herbal medicine, nutrition and so forth, that someone may have told them, or by word of mouth, that possibly there are some herbs and possibly some vitamins and so forth that may actually help mental health. Now, isn't that interesting? Because there is. So that's the first thing, is someone comes to actually ask for help. The worst thing is when they don't ask for help, or even worse is when they ask for help and it's not forthcoming, or they're not taken seriously. And so for every one of you out there, you've always got friends, you've got, if you're a parent, one of the most important things is to have your ears finely tuned and to listen and look for warning signs. There's a number of warning signs, and mostly it's the type of isolation, irritability, behavior problems. But getting back to when people start to change, the first thing is when they come in, But the second thing is when I notice they start taking better care of themselves, they start to wash their hands, they start looking after their properties, things like that, that's the first sign you know someone's getting well, is when they start to self-care. Just remember that if you're noticing your teenager or your friends losing that sort of personal delicacy, they may in fact be sliding into the pit of depression, because what happens with that is they stop taking care of themselves. But how do we approach mental health from a naturopathic and herbal medicine angle? And what really stuns me is when you do any research on vitamins and minerals, and even in herbal medicine, there is a huge body of research there based on double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trials that leave one with absolutely no shadow of a doubt that certain mineral deficiencies and vitamin deficiencies can lead to poor mental health. And please don't get me wrong, I'm not discounting family environments, genetics, all sorts of other things, but I can only talk from the experience that I've got. And I have seen so many miraculous changes in people's mental health with the, for example, the tiniest amount of iodine in those kids or those individuals that have a low iodine or low thyroid. And about a third of Kiwi women have low thyroid. Now, every single cell in the body needs iodine, and your brain actually needs iodine to actually work properly, and it governs, it helps to govern the menstrual cycle and so on and so forth. So low iodine can actually lead to depression and mental health problems. And that's quite astonishing when you can see that our soils, as I've said before, are low in iodine. And even though we're supposed to have iodine in our salt, the problem with salt is the normal table salt, the iodine in it that's added is very unstable in heat. So as soon as you heat the salt, the iodine floats away. So where else are you going to get iodine from? It's a very unstable element. And in my practice, I often give put iodine in the formulations or some natural source of iodine to make sure that the thyroid is working properly. So the thyroid is the gland of emotions. The other most common deficiency, and this is easily spotted by just looking at someone's tongue, if you've got a lot of cracks in the tongue, or if you've got little spoony-shaped things around the edge of the tongue where your teeth are sitting and it looks like the impression of teeth, then you're deficient in one or more of the B vitamins. Now, the B vitamins are neurological vitamins. And just one look at the tongue, there's all sorts of other signs you can look for with B vitamin deficiencies. But it's incredibly common, and so is the B12 deficiency, which is a neurological vitamin. In other words, it has a lot to do with brain health and nerve health. And there's vegetarians, unless you're very, very careful with your diet and make sure you get the correct B12, not an analog of B12, get the correct B12, you're going to have B12 deficiencies too, and that will affect your neurological system and will affect even the way you think. And, of course, there's a certain number of these B vitamins, when put together, actually help the whole digestive process to help to convert food into energy. And when you're low energy, that's another thing that can lead to mental health problems. If you've lived in the twilight zone for years and years and years, you sink into depression. And oftentimes, simply the low B vitamins, low iodine. Another one is very, very common. Almost everybody, in fact, I'd hazard a guess, and I say this because I see so many good responses when I use magnesium in my practice. And there's several different sorts of magnesium for different types of occasions and different types of conditions. But there is a link between a magnesium deficiency and depression as well. So a lack of magnesium means that calcium doesn't work properly. It means you tend to be very nervy, you tend to overreact to things. So this overreaction, if not actually corrected, can get worse and worse and worse. The deficiency, even the stress itself, takes more magnesium, sucks out more calcium, you end up being a nervous wreck. And again, it can lead you down that horrible pathway where you meet this little creature called the black dog. And so it's very important if you're feeling low or if you know somebody that's feeling low to get them assessed, first of all, nutritionally. I believe that's very, very useful to make sure that that's part of the ongoing care for those people under mental distress. So the astonishing thing about this whole nutritional aspect of mental health is that vitamins were discovered way back in 1912 by a chap, an interesting name, called Casimir Funk. And he originally coined the term vitamine because, you know, it was in the early 19th century anyway. And anyway, that began from there. And from that time on, of course, there was vitamin B1 that was discovered. Of course, it was the first vitamin, so it was called vitamin B1. And we've got vitamin B2, we've got folic acid, we've got vitamin B, niacin, we've got vitamin B3. Niacin's a real goodie because it's a neurological vitamin as well. And when you take the proper course of niacin, you can actually feel absolutely wonderful. It has quite a change in mood. And some people love it and some people hate it. But by giving the right vitamin, it's incredible how the mental processes can actually change through natural food, through natural supplements. And yet, since 1912, you can read any book on vitamins. You just Google vitamins and mood, and it's just astonishing the amount of literature that's there, and yet where's the funding? Where's the focus in our mental health system? What's going on here? And the skeptic in me says, well, you know, if you study vitamins, you can't really make any money from them because you can't own a vitamin. You can make products, but you'll never own the market. But if you invent some kind of chemical and you patent that chemical, you can patent it, you can actually own it, and you can get worldwide sort of sales. Dare I say, could it be the actual, could there be some money behind this, why we're not focusing so much on nutrition? You know, vitamin C is another one. We'll move on. We don't want to stay in the negative, do we? Look at vitamin C. We think that scurvy is rare these days or doesn't exist. Scurvy is a chronic deficiency of vitamin C. But we do have what we call subclinical deficiencies of vitamin C, where in fact you don't sort of die of it. And remember that scurvy is a chronic deficiency of vitamin C, where your teeth will fall out. You basically turn to jelly as the collagen structure in your body just falls apart. But one of the signs of vitamin C deficiency is depression. It's this terrible malaise where you just don't have the get up and go, and you feel this terrible sense of doom. Now, vitamin C, okay, are we getting enough? There's been some studies with oranges that have been picked green but ripened later, and they've found actually no vitamin C in them. Are we getting enough vitamin C, and are we getting the right form? Synthetic vitamin C won't do it because we need the whole complex. We need the bioflavonoids to go with it. So vitamin C can also have a role in mood. And when we put all these things together, we look at the average diet of the average teenager. If you can imagine what they start with, and it's hard to keep up with it, but and I don't want to mention any well-known breakfasts, but there are certain breakfasts there that there's more nutrients in the cardboard packet because they're so full of sugar. And when you have such a high sugar diet, what it's going to do is it's going to suck out your B vitamins. You see, sugar in nature is often associated with B vitamins because they help to metabolize the sugar. So the more sugar you're going to have, the more B vitamins are going to be depleted. And, of course, what happens with sugar is it depletes you of magnesium and calcium, and it sucks out all those alkaline minerals. And the alkaline minerals have a lot to do with brain and mental health. So if we look at, say, an Aboriginal in Australia, perhaps 100 years ago, living in a tribal community, the amount of sugar that Aboriginal individuals, say an Australian Aboriginal, would have in a year would be the equivalent of two lollies. Two lollies. That was all the sugar they had in a whole year. Well, a well-known source I looked at the other day, just for the hell of it, had I think it had 12 tablespoons of sugar in one jar. So the sugar is depleting us of these nerve nutrients, and the consumption of sugar now is well over our own body weight per year. Sugar is pure white and deadly. And yes, it has a great part to play in our mental health of this population. And remember, we are in crisis. So let's cut to the chase, because I could go on and on about all these dreadful things, but what, as a herbalist, as a naturopath, a nutritionist, what are some solutions? So, given that counselling is most relevant, given that all sorts of other things are there, but in my skill, the first thing to do is to put them on herbs that actually lift mood. And my favourite one, of course, is withania. We've got St. John's wort. We've got lemon balm. We've got all sorts of wonderful herbs. We've got gotcha kola. It's the Indian name for it is Brahmi, which means awakening. We've got herbs that actually nourish the brain. We've got blessed thistle brings oxygen to the brain. Isn't that interesting that we can have herbs called adaptogens and nerve nutrients that actually nourish the whole nervous system, including the brain, and have an effect on mental health? That is fascinating, isn't it? So we have some very favourite things to do there. The other thing is a really good vitamin B complex. I like to use vitamin B complex in a liquid form, and we slip it in with the herbs. So when you put the extra vitamins in with the herbal mixtures, and remember, as a herbalist, what we like to do is to make an individual tonic for the particular person. So with the help of iris diagnosis, with live blood analysis, we can easily tell whether the B vitamins are low, especially B12. We can see that very easily in live blood analysis. We can look at the tongue. We can see if there's magnesium deficiency. And through iridology, we can see how much of this mental condition is actually physiological and chemical. And there's the distinction. The important thing is whatever happens is always in multi-dimensions. It's not just because you didn't get a dog when you were three, or your toy was taken away from you, or worse, you were brought up without a father, okay, for the boys, or, you know, whatever. So these things are really important, but with naturopathic diagnosis, we can actually distinguish between how much is environmental and how much is chemical, and we can always apply nutrition to help the person along its way. So I hope this little talk has given you some insight into the importance of nutrition so that we don't lose focus and just get more and more psychologists and psychiatrists and therapies and all that. They're all very well, but we've got to think about this treating the cause and treating the chemistry as well, because mental health is also a chemical and nutritional disorder. That's my message. So at the end of the day, we want to think about that we don't want to simply change the furniture in the Titanic if you're heading for the iceberg. You can make things kind of look good, but unless you actually know where the course of the ship's going and change that course, we're going to end up with one hell of a disaster, and we are in crisis right now. So let's look for some changes in our mental health system. Let's look for embracing natural medicine. Let's look for a little bit more research money put into this as well as all the other things. So it's great to talk to you today. I hope there's just some little gem that you've taken from today. If you want to learn more, you just go to my website, www.nzherbal.com, or just look up, write to the radio station here, give them a ring, and they can forward you to my email. So this is Mike McCammon on Plains FM, and we'll catch up next week with something juicy. Bye-bye.
Never just